I do know at least one thing about her is that she's not perfect. None of us have a perfect mom. And so Mother's Day sometimes can be difficult. Let me just say this right up front, because the message will touch on this as well. But just up front, that Mother's Day may be tough for you. Maybe your mom has let you down or deserted you or hurt you in some way. Or maybe today you're sad because your mom has been passed away and is no longer with us. Or maybe you're estranged from her. Or today maybe you'd say, boy, I wish I could be a mom, but it's never happened for me. Or, you know, for several years, Jackie and I struggled with infertility, and we've gone through that and difficult times. Maybe today you're sad because your child's far from you, away from you, separated, incarcerated, etc. All these things are real life things that we go through. But I want to encourage you from the word of the Lord today. Amen. Here's some encouraging, I find this statement to be very, very encouraging. Pastor Annie Stanley said this: your greatest contribution to the kingdom of God may not be something you do, but someone that you raise. And so moms and dads, recognize the value of parenting and recognize the value of investing your life in the next generation. And I know it's difficult. There may be times you want to give up. There may be times you want to throw up your hands and say, what's going on? What's happening? But stick with it. Do the right thing. Keep raising your kids in the Lord. Don't walk away from Jesus. When your kids come back, give them something to come back to. Be stable and faithful in your walk with the Lord. And so no matter where you are today and the whole idea of Mother's Day, I want you to know that God loves you, God cares about you. I know for many years when we were, again, going through infertility and different things, we didn't want to go to church on Mother's Day. It was just a painful day, and that's tough when you're the pastor to not want to be in church. But the reality is, you know, wherever we are on that spectrum today, to know that God's love is here for us. Amen? Amen. I want to invite you to open your Bible today with me to the book of Isaiah, the Old Testament book of Isaiah, and we're going to get there in just a moment, Isaiah chapter 49. If you need a Bible, raise your hand. We'd love to give one to you so you can follow along this morning. If you want to take it home as our gift, feel free. If you just need to borrow it for a few moments and leave it at your chair when you leave today, you can do that. But Isaiah chapter 49, and we're going to read a couple verses here in just a few moments. Isaiah 49, would you turn there in the Old Testament? And today we're going to do something that God does himself in the Bible, okay? He's going to use something that we already know about to tell us about something we need to know more about. So God's going to help us today by taking something we already know about, which is the love of a mother, and help us understand something we need to know more about, which is God's love for us. Do you know that God's word talks about mothers and their love and compares the love of a mother to the love of God? And so we're going to take something that we all know something about, whether we're a mom or we... Let me take a quick survey. Have you a moms? Have you have a mom? That's a trick question. We all have a mom. Come on. Never mind. It was a dumb joke. You'll get it maybe later, okay? God's taking something that we know something about, which is the love of a mother, and says, I want you to think about that, and I want to use that to teach you about something even more awesome and more important, and that's God's love for us. And so Isaiah, in this text, helps us, and he uses this word picture for us. So I want to say thank you, moms, because your love provides a great picture of God's love for us. And so this morning we're honoring moms, but we're also looking above and beyond our mothers, because God says, look at the love of a mother and understand that the love of God for you is even greater, even better, even more amazing than your mother's love for yourself. Are you with me so far? Say amen. Let's stand together, shall we, out of honor for God's word. I'm going to ask my friend Jimmy Garcia to come on up and read our text this morning, Isaiah chapter 49, verses 14 through 16.
But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me.
Amen. So, Father, we pray you take this very simple scripture, and Lord, use it to teach us something even greater about your love for us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless you. You may be seated this morning. And again, today, a simple message, but I think an impactful one for all of us, to take the love that we see in moms and recognize that God wants us to learn more about his love for us. So write this down. If you in your bulletin this morning is this purple little insert. You want to take that out and follow along and take some notes. The first fill in there, point number one, more than mom, God remembers me. Even more than mom, God remembers me. Look at verse 14 one more time. It says, but Zion has said, the Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. Have you ever said this? God forgot me. God has forsaken me. I have. There's been times in my life when I said, God, you don't know where I am. You don't know what I'm going through. God, obviously you've lost me in the shuffle. You've forgotten about me. And I've had those emotions. I've verbalized those thoughts. I've been there. I've said that. Just exactly what this verse says. And I want to tell you, it's okay to say that. It's okay. How do you know God can handle our emotions? And sometimes we feel things, we think, well, I can't say that because God will get upset. Now, we don't want to stay there. We don't want to live there. We don't want to camp out there. But there will be times in my life and maybe yours where you feel like, you know what? I feel like God's forsaken me. I feel like of the 7 billion people all over this world, God's lost my address. God's lost my cell phone number. God's forgotten about me. In fact, it sounds like what Jesus said on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? And on the cross, Jesus was quoting King David from Psalm 22, who said the same thing. So if you ever feel forsaken, if you ever feel forgotten, I want to tell you it's okay. You can express that, you can feel that, but the key is you don't stay there. You don't camp out there and say, that's the final word, God's forsaken me, God's forgotten me. No, because we may start there, but we don't want to end up there. Now, we've all gone through things in life where we felt forgotten, we felt forsaken. Maybe we got cut from the team, we didn't get chosen for the job, we've got passed over for the promotion, maybe our spouse divorced us and left us. We've all experienced things like that. But imagine the frustration of feeling like God himself has forgotten you, God himself has forsaken you. 5 times in these 2 verses, Isaiah calls out and cries out and uses the word forgot, forgotten, forsaken. But listen to the answer that God gives in verse 15. You see, we don't stay there. We may start there. We don't stay there. Verse 15, God says this in a beautiful word picture. He says, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion for the child she has born? And the answer to that is what? No. Absolutely not. Now you'd say, Pastor, hold on. I heard a story once about a mom who abandoned her kids. Or maybe you've experienced that or you've heard about that. And we probably all have. But it's so unusual that we understand that that is not the normal way that life goes. Most moms, you, of course, care for their baby and love that baby. They don't forget about the baby. They give their life out for that baby. Let me hear a mom say amen. Moms, you know what I'm talking about. So God says, can a mom forget the baby at her breast? And of course, the answer is no. And then God says, though she may forget, even in the 1 in a million times when a mom may forget about her baby, though she may forget, God says, I will not forget you. So God uses something we know about, the mom's love that we enjoy, and says, I want you to teach you something about something you need to know more about, which is my love for you. Though she may forget, God says, though a nursing mother may forget her baby, I, God, will not forgive you. And we understand what's happening here, even the biology of it. If a mother's nursing, it's extremely difficult for her to forget that she's nursing. Her body is producing nourishment for the baby, and that reminds her, if somehow she would forget, that there's a little human counting on her for her to remember. Amen. The point of the passage is this. As unlikely as a mom forgetting her child, God's love, write this down, God's love is greater. God's love is greater, and God will never forget us. Wouldn't you agree there's not too many things in the world that are more touching than a mom holding her baby for the first time? There aren't too many more beautiful pictures than of a mom cradling that baby in her arms and holding it close. And just expressing that love that a mom has for a child. And we've seen it and we've understood it and we know what that's like. And God says, take that picture and multiply it by a billion. And you get a glimpse of God's love for each one of us. You see, I've got a very simple goal this morning, that when we leave this room in a few moments, that we would know in an even greater way a little bit more about God's love for us. God's love for me. And when you come up against that opportunity this week or sometime soon, when you say, God, you've forsaken me. God, you've forgotten about me. You'll remember what God said. Even if a nursing mother would forget her child, I have not forgotten you. That we would have such great confidence in God's love for us. Now, God takes it even a step further. Look again at verse number 16. God uses another word picture, as if even a nursing mother isn't enough. He goes, see to Israel, see I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Now this is a word picture. We understand God doesn't have literal hands. But let me take a quick survey. How many of you are old enough to remember the day when you met somebody, maybe a girl, and you wanted to get her phone number, you took a pen out and you wrote it where? On your hand, because you didn't have a cell phone. You know, and you didn't have any paper, so you wrote a number on your hand. Let me see, anyone, okay, I just want to make sure I'm not the only one. Okay, some of you are looking, your spouse is looking like, what, you did that? Come on, okay. We would write a number on our hand or write a homework assignment or write something on our hand because we didn't have anywhere else to write it. Some young people are looking at me like, what are you talking about? Why didn't you just use your cell phone? Because we didn't have a cell phone. Okay. God says, I have written you. I have engraved you on my hand. If God had hands, your name would be written on there. Amazing. Amazing that he would say that. That we are written on the hand of God. There are times, even in this society, when a slave would write the name of his master on his hand, almost like a brand, but God flips that even around. He says, you know what? I'm not going to have the slave write the master's name on his hand as a sign of identification. I, the master, am going to write your name on my hand. Again, it's just another picture God gives us about his great love for us. You are written on the palm of God. Hand. Your name is engraved on his hand. He can't forget you. If he were to forget, he would look down and see, oh, yeah, that's right. I see his name. I see his number. I haven't forgotten him or her. Isn't that good news today? God wants us to get this in our hearts beyond a shadow of a doubt. And sometimes, again, that 18-inch journey from our head to our heart. Many of us have heard this before. You say, Pastor, I know this. I've heard this. I've sung the song, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. But until we move that truth from our head down to our heart, where we don't just know about it, but we know it. We just haven't heard about it, but we live on it, and we believe it, and we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God loves me more than I can even imagine. You might ask yourself, what is God thinking about right now? You ask yourself that question, what's God doing right now? What's he thinking about? Well, David says this, I put it in your notes from Psalm 139. David says, how precious to me are your thoughts, O God, how vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. God is thinking about you right now. He's thinking about you. His eye is on you. He cares about you. He's crazy about you. He can't stop thinking. If you were to take all the grains of sand on every beach on the whole planet and count them up, God's thoughts towards you are greater than that. You see, that tells us, again, one of Satan's favorite lies, one of his deceptions is this. God doesn't know you. God doesn't care about you. God has forgotten about you. No, God remembers you. He knows you. Those things you have never told anybody about, those thoughts that are so private you can't even dare say them, those things that are you've thought about and those fears or those anxieties or those hopes and those dreams that you haven't even shared with your closest friend, God knows about those. And God cares about you, and God loves you beyond anything you could ever imagine. And so he uses the most tender word picture we can imagine as humans, which is the love of a mom, a nursing mother to her baby, and says, God's love for us is 1,000,000,000,000,000,000 times greater than that. Are you with me so far? Say amen. Even more than mom, God remembers you. Point number two, Isaiah gives us another word picture. Even more than mom, write this down, God comforts us. God comforts us. Even more than a mother would comfort us, God comforts us. Now, there's a contrast here in a lot of families. A lot of families, mom and dad treat you differently if you're raised in a home with both mom and dad. Sometimes dad says, when you get hurt, dad says, come on, you're not hurt. Rub some dirt in it. Come on, don't be a baby, you know. Get up and you know, you can handle it. So you go to mom because how you know mom's maybe is going to give you some compassion and give you a Band-Aid and give you those kiss on the owie or whatever it is, you know. Moms are going to do that. There's sometimes that dynamic between dads and moms. I came across a funny list. I'll give you a couple examples. Someone wrote down a list of things that moms would never say. Are you ready? These are things you'll never hear your mom say. Number one, let me smell that shirt. Yeah, that's good for another week. How about this? Could you turn up the music a little bit louder so I can enjoy it too? Here's something a mom would never say. I can't find a tissue. Just use your sleeve, okay? And number four, this is 11. Run and bring me those scissors. Hurry, okay? Moms just don't say those things because they're just usually not wired that way. But even more, God gives us another picture. Even more than a mother would comfort, God says he wants to comfort us. Look at the screen with me because Isaiah, again, uses another word picture in chapter 66. I think I've got this for you on the screen where it says, for this is what the Lord says, I will extend peace to her, Israel, like a river, and the wealth of the nations like a flooding stream. You will nurse and be carried on her arm and dandled on her knee. Listen, as a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you and will be comforted over Jerusalem. What a beautiful word picture. Again, God says, as a mother comforts her child. And again, we can all imagine, we all know what that's like. You're hurting, you've fallen, you feel badly emotionally, and your mom kind of just picks you up and comforts you. As a mother comforts her child, so God will comfort us. Listen, friend, God wants you to turn to him for comfort. God wants you to turn to him when you're feeling distressed. God wants you to turn to him when you're feeling down, when you're feeling discouraged. Too often in our world, in our society, we turn in all sorts of different directions. We turn to alcohol, we turn to pornography, we turn to, you know, all sorts of things that we think are going to help us and comfort us. And God's saying, listen, come to me. Let me help you. Let me comfort you. Let me be the one that's going to make you feel better. 2 weeks from today, we're going to start a new series here at South Point. It's on the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit for several weeks, and we're going to just kind of dive deep into his ministry in our lives. And one of the scriptures that is, especially if you use the King James Version, and I know some of you do, in John chapter 16, you see it there in your notes. One of the titles for the Holy Spirit is the Comforter. Jesus said, but I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go, the Counselor, NIV, or the King James says, the Comforter will not come. But if I go, I will send him to you. So Jesus says he's going to send to us the Holy Spirit. And one of the titles that he has for us is he is the Comforter. Amen. How could it be for our good that Jesus goes back to heaven? How could that be better? I mean, wouldn't we like to have Jesus here? Wouldn't we like to talk to him and look at him and touch him? That might be wonderful, amen? But could you imagine how long that line would be? Where'd we go to see Jesus? Maybe as a headquarters in Jerusalem or some other city, and we take a number and we wait in line because there's thousands and millions of people that want to talk to Jesus. And I would be in that line and I would wait as long as it took, wouldn't you? But Jesus says, it's better if I go, because if I go, I will send the Comforter. I will send the Holy Spirit. And now the Holy Spirit is with you and 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 with me. And when we scatter this week to Sacramento and Elk Grove and Galt and wherever we go, up and down I-5, 99, wherever we go, the Holy Spirit will be with us. And we don't wait in line to talk to Jesus because the Comforter is with us. And that's a good thing. How many times have we blown it and have we tried to find comfort in all the wrong places, whether it's relationships or our career or a bigger bank account or alcohol or accomplishments? It doesn't last. It won't work. And all along, God says, I am sending you the Comforter. And like a mother would comfort her child, I want to comfort you. Let me encourage you. If you're feeling down today, if you're feeling discouraged, you may not even be able to put it into words. Have you ever felt that way? I certainly have. In fact, at a moment this weekend, there's a situation I was dealing with. I just felt down and discouraged. I couldn't even put it into words, but I thought, Lord, you're the comforter. Would you come and help me right now? Would you come and minister to me right now? And God didn't say, well, you've got to tell me exactly what you need and how you feel. God doesn't do that. Like a mother and a child, how do you know when your kid comes to you and he's crying, you don't say, well, what's wrong and what happened and fill this form out in triplicate before I pick you up and hold you. That baby cries, you pick him up. God is like that with us. And if you need comfort this morning, would you, before we even leave this room today, maybe your prayer would be, Lord, would you comfort me? Holy Spirit, would you minister to me? I don't want to try to find it in a relationship. I don't want to try to find it in a bottle. I don't want to try to find it in a prescription bottle I shouldn't be taking. I don't want to try to find it in anything else. Lord, I want to find my comfort in you. Point number three, even more than a mom, God wants us to grow. Even more than our moms, God wants us to grow. Now listen, I love having grandkids. Isn't that great? How many grandparents do we have out there today? Okay. You know we're blessed by the Lord. I mean, it's a wonderful thing. You know, and it's fun to, you know, to when you have kids, you know, it's fun to dress them and to feed them and to bathe them. But how do you know if you're still doing that when they're 18 years old, something's wrong somewhere? Because we want our kids to grow up, right? And then give us grandkids. Amen. That's what it's about. And as parents, we want our kids to grow. We want them to take those steps forward and to become adults that are productive and serving the Lord. Oftentimes, just if we're honest, our number one goal in life is to be comfortable. Just to kind of take it easy, just to kind of enjoy life. But I want you to know, God's got a greater goal for you than just comfort. And that is this. Look at your notes. We have it very clear in Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, 29 says, for God knew his people in advance, and he chose them, now underline this phrase, he chose them to become like his son. You've been chosen by God to become like his son. You've been chosen by God to become like Jesus. You weren't chosen by God just to stay how you are and say, well, that's just the way I am. That's just the way it is in my you've been chosen by God to become like Jesus so that the Son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. God's got a goal for you, and that's to grow and to make you into the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, how do you know that's good news? But how do you know also that's hard work sometimes? God pushes us forward and wants us to grow. God's goal for you, it's in your character to be like Jesus. Just like every mom is excited when their kids grow up and have accomplishments and, you know, get that first job and drive that car and maybe get married or have kids or whatever. Parents and moms get excited about that. God gets excited when we take steps forward and we become more and more like Jesus. Our goal, again, may be I want to just sit on the couch and watch cartoons. And God says, I want you to grow up. I want you to be like Jesus. I want your character to turn into something a little more stable than that. And so like a wise mother will sometimes push us and prod us and encourage us and stretch us and may I even say nag us to go to that next, no, nobody in here would ever do that, come on, but to get the kids to the next level. And again, another beautiful word picture. It's in your notes from the book of Deuteronomy. God uses a word picture here. He says, in the desert land, he, God, found him, Israel. In a barren and howling waste, he shielded him and cared for him. He guarded him as the apple of his eye. Listen to what God does, verse 11. Like an eagle that stirs up its nest and hovers over its young, that spreads its wings to catch them and carries them on its pinions. The Lord alone led him. No foreign God was with him. So again, I'm throwing all sorts of word pictures at you this morning, but here's another one. God says, I am like the mother eagle. You are like a baby eagle. My goal is to get you to become an adult eagle that's flying and is beautiful and majestic. We had the privilege for 12 years of living in Northwest Washington, and we had eagles all over the place. It was awesome. Bald Eagles, beautiful spot. We pastored there. We actually lived on an island and pastored on an island, and there was eagles everywhere. And we'd go out and look at them, and we didn't get tired of it because they're so majestic and so beautiful. And we learned a lot about them. And God here uses that picture of an eagle. And if you've ever seen an eagle's nest, you know it's huge. It's a huge nest. And if you ever were able to look down on the inside, of course, it's built with sticks and different hard material, but it was lined with feathers and soft branches and leaves and was cushy and warm and soft. And the baby eagles would love to hang out in that nest. It sounds pretty cool to me, too, just kind of sitting way up in the tree, enjoying the breeze, and you've got branches and feathers. You're just kind of sitting back, and your mom brings you your food. Amen. That sounds pretty good. But look at, again, verse 11. God says, like an eagle that stirs up the nest. And scientists tell us that when the time is right, a mother eagle will actually literally tear apart the nest. She will pull out the feathers. She will pull out the branches. She will pull out everything that's protecting that baby eagle. And now all of a sudden he's laying on sharp sticks. He's saying, what's going on? Well, you're tearing up my bedroom. You're tearing up the apartment. Mom, have you lost your mind? And she just pulls it apart, and she's throwing stuff over the side. And the baby eagle's thinking, my poor mom has lost her mind. Where do I go? What do I do? She's tearing the house apart. Help! And even after that happens, she begins flying lessons. And she teaches him how to fly by taking out a laptop and showing him a PowerPoint picture and a DVD, you know, 8 easy steps to flying. No, she takes him to the edge of the nest and she pushes him out. And as he falls and tumbles, he's thinking, help! My mom has lost her mind. I thought she loved me. And baby eagles fly like bricks with feathers attached. I mean, they just don't know what they're doing, and they just fall and tumble. And until the last minute, what happens? The mom eagle comes down, swoops down, and picks up that eagle. Takes it back up and does it again. It's like how some of us learned how to swim when our dad threw us in the deep end and said, well, hope he can figure it out, right? I thought you loved me. Why are you trying to kill me? My mom has lost her mind. God says that's how he treats us sometimes. Like an eagle that stirs up its nest. And I just believe that maybe some people here today say, Pastor, God is stirring up the nest in my life. God is poking and prodding me. God is causing me to grow. God is taking away some of the things that I used to lean on. Some of the branches and leaves and feathers are gone. I'm feeling sharp sticks poking me. Listen, friend, if that's your life today, let me tell you, don't give up. God hasn't forgotten you. God hasn't forsaken you. God isn't going to let you hit the ground. God, you may feel like God is pushing you a little bit out of the nest and God is prompting you and moving things around your life, but his goal is to make you like his son Jesus. And an eagle was not meant to stay in the nest. And you are not meant to stay like you are today. God's got a bigger picture and a bigger goal, and that's to make you like him. And so if you're feeling discouraged or distressed or you're feeling like, oh God, you're tearing up my house. You're taking away the things that made me comfortable. You're taking up the things that I used to enjoy. Listen, just know that God's got a big plan. God's got a bigger plan for you. And it's not to make you a baby eagle, but it's one day you can soar on wings like an eagle, the Bible says. And so write this down because I know you want this feeling. God allows the circumstances of life to poke us. There are sometimes, maybe today you say, Pastor, right now, boy, I feel like this, it's poking me. Lord, this difficulty, this relationship, this job loss, this financial crunch, this physical need I'm going through, this whatever it is, and it's poking you. And I want to tell you, don't get discouraged. Don't think that God has forsaken you. God's got a great plan for your life. But maybe he wants you to get out of the nest. Maybe he wants you to sprout your wings. Maybe he wants you to grow a little bit in your faith, grow a little bit to become more like his son, Jesus Christ. And God uses those difficulties to help us. God gives us things that we cannot handle on our own, and we may feel like we're doing a free fall. We may feel like we're falling, and we don't know when we're going to hit the bottom. And at the last moment, God said he'll swoop down and pick us up because he's not going to let us lose our, he's not going to let us get lose our life like that. He's going to come down and help us. You say, wait, hold on a second, Pastor. Didn't you say that God was like our mom? He comforts us? Well, yes, he does. But he knows that sometimes we need comfort and sometimes we need to push. Sometimes we need to comfort and sometimes we need to push out of the nest to become the person that God wants us to be. And listen, eagles were not created to sit in a nest. We look up at the sky, we see an eagle flying, we say, that's where an eagle belongs. He belongs flying majestically across the skies. That's why they were chosen to be the symbol of our nation. You know, the beauty of that eagle and the majesty of that eagle is something that it appeals to our hearts. And God says, that's who I want you to be in me, not sitting in the nest watching cartoons all day. I'm going to break up the nest if I need to, because even more than moms, God wants us to grow. And God's plan, his design for us, is to be like Jesus. You won't get there sitting in a nest. You won't get there always being comfortable. God wants you to flap your wings and develop your wings and learn how to fly. And so this morning, as we come to the close of the message today, I want you to be assured of God's love and God's care. And today you're thinking, again, let me just kind of summarize the word pictures we looked at today. If you feel like God has forgotten you, if you feel like God has forsaken you, then God says, no. Look at my hand, your name is written right there. No, look at a nursing mom holding that baby close and taking such care of it. Even if she were to forget her baby, I would not forget about you. If you feel forsaken, if you feel forgotten, I want you to know the devil's lying to you. The devil's a liar. You got to stand on the word of God and say, no, God hasn't forgotten about me. God knows right where I am. God cares about me. Maybe today you feel like you need God's comfort. You may not even be able to put it into words. If I were to ask you, hey, what's going on? You couldn't even say. You know what? It wouldn't even matter. Because like that little child doesn't have to say exactly what they need. They just need to say, Lord, would you just pick me up? Mommy, Daddy, would you just pick me up? Would you just hold me on your lap for a moment? And that's how God is with us. And today you might say, Pastor, I don't even know exactly what's going on. Or maybe you do, but it doesn't matter. Because God says, if you turn to me, if you ask me, I will be there to comfort you. The last group of people I'm talking about this morning are those that feel like they're uncomfortable, they're being disturbed, God's stirring things up, and the things you used to lean on to make you feel good are gone, and the difficulties of life are kind of poking you, and it's like a stick sticking up through the nest. You're saying, what's going on? God, don't you love me anymore? God says, I love you so much. I love you more than you can imagine. I just want you to become more like Jesus. If that's you today, don't give up. Don't get discouraged. God's got a plan. He wants you to soar on wings of an eagle. That's who he's made you to be. So today I want you to say out to all the moms, thank you. Thank you for who you are, but also because you have helped us know more about something even greater than your love, and that's God's love for us. So thank you, moms, for what you've done. But even more, we want to say thank you, God, for loving us, for comforting us, and for at times helping us to grow and become the person that you want us to be. Would you close your eyes and bow your heads for just a moment? And before we transition from this message today, I want to ask everyone just to take a moment and examine your heart and examine your life. Would you do that with me? Just forget about the person next to you for just a moment. Forget about your plans for the rest of the day and just say, I want to take the next 30 seconds and just think about my life. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Perhaps today you'd say, Pastor, I feel like God's forsaken me. I feel like God's forgotten me. And today I want to realize that his love is not just something I know about in my head, but it's something I feel and realize in my heart. I rely on it. I know that God loves me. Maybe today you need his comfort. You'd say, Pastor, would you pray that God would comfort me? I'm going through a situation here. I don't even know how to express it. I can't even put it into words, but I just know I want to crawl up on the lap of my Heavenly Father. I want him to hold me close and help me. And just like a mother would do that for a child, I want God to wrap his arms of love around me this morning. He's here to do that. You'd say, Pastor, I don't want to run to relationships. I don't want to run to alcohol. I don't want to run to my accomplishments or my bank account. I want to run to my Father who loves me for comfort, for peace, and for strength. Well, there's a third group today that would say, Pastor, I feel like God's stirring up the nest in my life. I haven't been happy about it. I haven't been excited about it. But I realize now he's doing it to make me more like Jesus. And I commit myself and I submit myself to his plan and his will. I'm not going to fight him because I know that he wants me. He's forming something good in me. He's forming the character of his son Jesus in me. If that means that I tumble out of the nest, if that means a stick pokes me, if it means difficulties come, then I'd want to embrace that, knowing that God's got a plan for my life. One day I want to soar like an eagle. One day I want to be the person he designed me to be. Just say yes to him today. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. So, Father, today we come before you, Lord. I'm sure that there's people in all three categories. Perhaps we'd say I fit in a couple of those categories today, Lord, in different areas of my life. But today, Lord, whether we just need to feel your comfort or we need to just remind ourselves that you love us or we need to know that you've got a plan for our growth and our character, we say yes to you this morning. And all around this room, Father, we're taking a moment just to say yes to you. Just to say, yes, Lord, we trust you. Yes to your plan. Yes, Lord, to your love. And then we're saying no to the enemy who would lie to us and say we've been forgotten, we've been forsaken. We'll stand on God's word. We'll stand on your promises. We know that you love us. We know that you care about us. We know that you're there for us. And so, Father, I pray all around this room today, you touch us. In fact, with no one looking around, you don't want to just lift up a hand to the Lord today and say, would you pray for me, Pastor? One of these three areas is really touching my heart. Amen. Just lift up that hand. Lots of hands today being lifted. Would you just pray? Amen. Amen. Father, you see the hands are being lifted this morning. And people are saying, yes, I fit. God's speaking to me. And Lord, we say yes to you. We say yes to your plan for us. We say yes to what you want to do and the character you want to shape in us. Thank you, Lord, for having a plan for us. We say yes to that. So, Lord, we look forward to how you're going to use this message in our lives this week. Lord, we pray that as we go about our weekly activities, we'd be reminded of what you said to us this morning. We'd be reminded of these great word pictures that you've given to us, Lord, of a nursing mother cares for her child, of a eagle who stirs up the nest, of a mother comforting her young one, Lord, knowing that we fit in that category. You love us so much. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God is so good. Praise the Lord. You know, I don't say it too often. One of the reasons we give you these notes is so it could be a reminder of what God's saying to you. And I know that not everybody treats these the same way, and some of you maybe never use them. But maybe today you'd say, you know what, there's some scriptures here that I want to meditate on this week. I don't want to lose what God said to me this week. And maybe you'd take this and look it over and read these scriptures and say, God, I want to hang on to what you've said to me this week. So maybe that's going to be helpful to you today. I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward, and we're going to wait upon you as for your Sunday morning tithes and offerings and to the work of the Lord. Also, those connect cards you filled out. We'd appreciate if you take a moment to drop those in as well. You know, there's many ways to give here at South Point. Of course, you can give on a Sunday morning. If you want to give during the week or via credit card, you can do that on our website. If you ever miss the offering out there in the information desk, there's an offering slide. You can drop your offering in there as well. We just want to make it easy for you to give. And you know why? Because we know that giving is an act of worship. Amen? When I write out my tithe check, when I give to the work of the Lord, I'm excited about that. Because it's a way for me to say, Lord, I thank you for blessing me. I want to be a good manager of what you've given to me. It all belongs to you, God, but the first 10% I want to give back to you with a heart of praise and worship and love for all you've done. Amen. Let's pray a blessing over the offering. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for allowing us to manage the resources you've given to us financially. Lord, help us to be good managers of what you've given to us, to put you first, Lord, and to support your work. Thank you for all the ministries that we support here at South Point. We pray you'd bless them, meet our financial needs, and bless those who give today. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you as you give.
God's gonna do it before me.
Well, I want to say thank you for spending your Mother's Day morning with us today. I trust it's going to be a wonderful day. I tell you what, moms, we have a gift for you out in the lobby, and hope you enjoy that. And we also have, like I said earlier, eggs. If you want to take home some eggs, we just want to bless you with that. Our food pantry had just more than we could even give away, so it's your lucky day for that. So hope you enjoy that. But before you go today, I want to give you a blessing in the name of the Lord. If you want to receive a blessing from the Lord, you lift your hands to Him. And as your pastor, it's my privilege to bless you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord show you His kindness and have mercy on you. May the Lord watch over you and give you peace. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day.